Okay, so we're going to start with reading Romans 7, 14 to 24. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would be good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When circus elephants are young, they get tied up to a post with a rope. As they grow up, they are conditioned to believe that they can't break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free. These animals could at any time break free from their bonds, but because they believed they couldn't, they were stuck right where they were. The elephants are held captive because they believe they can't break free from the rope and the stake in the ground. We live the same way as these elephants do because we look at sins the same way that the elephant looks at the rope. We think that the sins are too powerful and we can't overcome them so often. Times we don't even try because our bodies are weak and we give in to temptation. We know that we shouldn't sin. We know that the things are wrong, but we don't even try to break free. And the whole time, Satan lies to us and tells us that we'll never be free from those sins. We can't set ourselves free. So now I'm going to read Romans 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. As we go through life and we struggle with sin, if we are a believer in Christ, we should remind ourselves that we are forgiven for our sins. Jesus Christ has paid the price for our past, present, and future sins. Next, I'm going to read Romans 8, verses 1 to 3. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. If we are in Jesus Christ, we no longer walk after the flesh, but we should walk after the Spirit. And when we live our lives to honor and glorify God, there is no condemnation for us. We're no longer guilty. We are set free, even though we deserve death and eternal separation from God. But God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we had a way out of our punishment. Jesus forgives us, not our sins. Then let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus paid the price for all of mankind's sins, even though he knew no sin. And then we'll turn back to Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift to us, but Jesus paid the price. Back when Adam and Eve, they were warned not to eat of the tree, for the punishment for sin would be death. How do we live in victory? Romans 8, 5 to 11 will help answer that question. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the sin of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Focus on the Holy Spirit and spiritual things instead of focusing on worldly or personal things. If you had two dogs and you chose to feed one and not the other, what would happen? If you continually did this for days, the dog you feed would keep getting stronger and the other dog would keep getting weaker. And the same principle applies to us. If we feed the Spirit of God, it gets stronger in us and the worldly spirits or desires will get weaker. You might not have instant victory, but this is a tool we can build upon. Who are you feeding, sin nature or God? We make this choice daily on who we are going to serve. Colossians 3:5 tells us we need to starve our sin nature. A dog's tricks teaches a preacher about Christians. The master places bacon on the dog's nose, and the dog doesn't eat it. The dog didn't eat it because he kept his eyes on the master and not the bacon. Just like Christians need to keep our eyes on the Master Jesus. Now I'm going to read Romans 8, verses 31 to 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This verse is telling us that Jesus already gives us everything we need. God will give you whatever you need when you get there and need it. Now I'm going to read verses 33 to 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. It's saying, who can accuse you of doing wrong? Nobody can, because Jesus is interceding on our behalf. Then let's read verse 35 to 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. It doesn't matter if it's war or the darkest, deepest valley or a struggle you're going through. Nothing can separate us from God's love. We deserve to be like sheep led to the slaughter because of our sins. We deserve death, but because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are more than conquerors. Now let's read verse 38 to 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nobody can cause God to stop loving us, neither can any actions. He doesn't love you more for what you do or less for the sins you commit. Jesus wants to write a story of your life. Let him write the story. Don't be distracted from him.